They mess you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were messed up in their turn by fools in old style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man, it deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself. I don't normally begin my sermons with an apology, but I'd like to say that those are not my views. That's the poem This Be the Verse by Philip Larkin, a particularly one-sided perspective. And for those familiar with the original, slightly altered by me to avoid graphic language in church, I can see a few nods, some recognition of that fact. Well, don't worry, the curate hasn't developed a Scrooge complex on Christmas Eve. This isn't a case of bar humbug. So amidst the Christmas cheer, and on this of all evenings, why begin with this? John chapter 1 that we've just heard read is immense in its scope. But at its heart is a question of identity. We can probably all recognise some element of truth in Larkin's poem, be it very slight. Some of us maybe with a wry smile, and for others, great pain and struggle. But are we simply victims of our ancestors, of our genes, or even of our circumstances? John chapter 1 gives a wholly different account of our identity. A wholly different account and a completely different starting point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Our starting point is God. Jesus Christ, the Word, through whom all things were made. Through whom we were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And therefore, you are part of God's eternal purposes. Not simply of natural descent or human decision or accident, but created by God. Have you ever heard the line, "I always wanted to be somebody. Now I realize I should have been more specific." But God couldn't have been any more specific about any one of us. Of course, there is truth in Larkin's portrait, exaggerated as it is in most cases. We've all experienced the hurt done to us by those we love, and of the hurt that we've inflicted on others, both intentionally and unintentionally. But it's much broader, isn't it, than just families or genetics. It's our relationships generally. And these are hurts that can interfere with our knowing the reality of God and his view of us. It's part of the darkness that John refers to in his opening chapter, part of what has been messed up in God's creation, part of the misery which Larkin recognises and seeks escape from. But because it's not limited to family relationships, Getting out early and not having kids yourself is, in fact, no solution. But God knows the extent of the mess. And he hasn't just abandoned us to the consequences of the mess of our own and others' making. No. Verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God entered into the mess, into the darkness. He came among us. He experienced the fullness of it for himself. That's awesome enough, just by itself. But he didn't just come to empathize with us, although he does. He didn't just come to share in our pain and struggles, although he does. He also came to restore his light and his life in us, to give us a new identity, only possible because of his identity, because it was his to give as the author of life. Verses 11 to 12. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Tomorrow we'll be able to watch on the news members of the royal family attending church. We'll be able to listen to the Queen's speech if we choose to. But only her family will be having Christmas lunch with her. John 1 tells us that accepting Jesus as our Saviour, by believing in him, we become children of God with all the rights and privileges that that affords. Salvation begins with God's love for each one of us. And because of Jesus, we can relate to God as our Father. We have the privilege of fellowship with Almighty God, who delights in each one of us as his precious child. Full acceptance, confidence that he loves to hear our prayers, no fear of judgment because Jesus has dealt with our sin on the cross, and a new family, God's family. Christians called to love one another as he loves us. A new identity, a new relationship with God and with one another, a new future, eternal life. These are the realities of being children of God for those who believe in Jesus Christ. At the heart of John 1 is a question of identity, of our identity in him. Not victims of our genes or our circumstances, but given new life, because in him was life, and that life is the light of men. And at the heart of John 1 is the fact of Jesus' identity. The one who was in the beginning, before all things. The Word with God, the Word who was God. The one through whom all things were made. The true light who has come into the world. The Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God makes himself known to us in the person of his Son. so that we can understand the extent of his love for us, so that we can know the freedom of his forgiveness and experience that new life, his light shining into the darkness of our lives. And so this Christmas night, as we read the words of John 1, we're reminded afresh of the wonder of Jesus' birth. And at the heart of that passage is a question of identity. Jesus' identity, God himself come down to earth to live among us, the Saviour of the world taking on frail flesh for our sake, entering the darkness in order to bring us his light. And we're reminded of the truth of our identity, created by and for him who was before all things, and enabled through him to enter into new life as children of God. Not determined or defined by our genes and circumstances, but by our relationship with God through belief in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Let's pray. Lord, you stepped down from heaven to earth, and you have brought the gift of new life for all who will believe in you. And so once again, as we come before your throne, as we remember your birth, we pray that that life would be in us, that you would reign in our lives afresh this Christmas. Amen.